Be advised, mature content ahead. This podcast is brought to you ad-free thanks to the Legion of Demons at patreon.com/notlp. If you like what you hear, there's much more at patreon.com/notlp. Join the Legion. That's patreon.com/notlp. And now the show.
How do you do?
Just a word of friendly warning. I think it will thrill you. It may shock you. It might even horrify you. So if any of you feel that you do not care to subject your nerves to such a strain, now is your chance to, well, we warn you.
This is the Shelley Winters of our discontent.
Mm-hmm. It is.
And this week we'll be talking about listener Mel's pick from 1955.
You emailed Mel.
I emailed Mel, and Mel responded via email. The Night of the Hunter, starring, of course, Shelley Winters and Robert Mitchum and Lillian Gish.
Lillian Gish and a super young Peter Graves.
Yeah.
Get out of here.
Youngest of Peter Graves.
So with this, I think one of the better movies in moviedom.
Great movie.
For Roulette, Amy will be reviewing The Lodge.
Yep.
Starring Reese Witherspoon is in not Reese Witherspoon, the other one. No. Alicia Silverstone.
Oh my God.
I get those two names in my head. They flip flop.
Yeah.
Witherstone.
Yeah, Alicia was the Reese of our day, right?
Sure.
Yeah.
I think that's.
I thought Reese was the Reese of our day.
That's true, too.
Dylan McDonald.
McDonut?
Dolmert McRunger.
So I'm Freddie. Amy's here, obviously. Kelly.
Hey.
Andy.
No, I'm Alicia.
Alicia Silverstone.
He called her Alicia yesterday.
That's what I always say.
The movie, and I was Alicia? Like, dude,
you can't say Alicia.
That's what I always called her. I always called her Alicia Silverstone.
But it's respectful.
But it's Alicia.
Thank you.
What did she say?
Don't Tucker Carlson this shit. Pronounce it correctly. Yeah.
Did she make a big? Did she make an issue out of it or something? Being called Alicia versus Alicia.
No, but I was just. Fresh on the heels of Tucker Carlson being very disrespectful to our current vice president candidate, Kamala Harris.
Mm-hmm.
When you were corrected, somebody's name pronunciation, it is respectful.
Oh, yeah, to try to get it right. Why not?
So anyway.
If she was, if Alicia was in Spain, she would be called Alicia.
That's true. España. Barcelona. Suffering succotash.
So yeah, hey guys.
Hey, howdy do.
Howdy do.
You know. Should I do the rest of the episode of Sylvester?
I hope not.
Just avoid S words. Don't we can't talk about Sissy Spacek or
Sissy Spacek
or Sylvester Stallone.
You know, as somebody who has a slight lisp.
Uh-huh.
Chill the fuck out a little.
You don't, you still have a slight lisp, you think?
Oh, yeah. I think the listeners for sure could tell you.
Yeah.
The listeners?
I love a lisp. Sarah Paulson has a lisp. Mm-hmm. It's very endearing.
And the kid from Stranger Things.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Lisps are fun.
Always loved a lisp.
Can you say the word asterisk? Asterisks.
Asterisks.
We were talking about before we started recording what your favorite childhood meal was, just because I had a bunch of questions sitting in front of me, and that was one of them. And Amy's is still shit on a shingle.
Stouffer's, in hindsight, the frozen. Right?
Which was basically like.
You can't get it anymore.
A white gravy with. Carl Buttig beef, essentially. Yeah. It was like.
Was it the kind you boil in the bag?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I used to love the Salisbury steak version of that.
Oh, see, I didn't like the Salisbury, but I did. Salisbury. The shit on a
shingle.
Spacek.
No, Stouffer's still makes it. It's called chip beef.
No, I don't think you can buy it anywhere. I've never seen it.
Have you Googled to see? I bet you you can still get it.
You can probably cream buy chip it in beef. A big gross can.
In a big gross like, can.
I mean, it makes more sense for me to just make you homemade.
Yeah, because I looked up the recipe and it looks easily
What
done.
Does it call for is for the meat? Is it corned beef or like a or is it dried?
I don't know. We don't have to like have. Oh, you can still buy it.
This is what I was talking about hammer. It's basically the same thing as that, except instead of cream chip, instead of chip beef, it's ground beef.
And that was hamburger. What'd she call it again? Hamburger gravy?
Yeah.
Shit, you can still buy shit on a shingle. What? I've never seen it.
Yeah.
Not in years.
Well, la-dee-da. Somebody doesn't frequent the freezer aisle.
I thought I was
You were freezer savvy?
Mm-hmm. And all this time.
Today you discovered you were a rube.
I'm a total...
Only fresh food for me.
I'm a total rube noob.
Andy, anyway. Did you ever say what your favorite childhood meal was?
It was cereal.
It was just cereal, but we never drilled down to what kind.
Probably Rice Krispies. I was a very boring child.
Oh, okay. Are you going to be like Mueslix?
Special K.
Kicks.
Or grape nuts.
Oh, remember dude.
Grape plain nuts? Kicks. I love grape nuts. That's one of my favorite cereals.
I was so excited about cereal. Grape nuts as a kid, just from the commercials. And then I had it and I was like, this is rocks.
Which are delicious. Oh, my God.
They're good on vanilla ice cream if you ever tried that.
They're good with a bowl of milk. I lost a lot of weight once eating nothing but salads and grape nuts.
That's called dying.
It sounds so healthy.
It's not really, but the grape nuts are good. It's an acquired, like if.
Like how much were you shitting with this diet?
Let me.
Did it look like rabbit shit? Yeah.
They were like little pellets.
I'm sorry, listeners.
They look like grape nuts.
I'm going to tell you, I'm sorry if this sounds gross, but like, grape nuts are a very rough food. Yeah. And after an evacuation, it felt like my entire digestive system, intestines, everything had been scraped clean. Like it was a clean feeling, but it also kind of hurt. It felt like.
So you weren't chewing them.
No, I was.
Yeah.
They're just rough.
Yeah.
And it felt like some kind of worker or cleaning person had shoved their hand up my ass with like that steel wool stuff and just sort of scraped along my inside.
Alice, she hears you. She turned around like, what the fuck are you talking about? Hang on.
And you know, it just, that's what it always felt like after eating a lot of grape nuts.
Yeah,
I remember the commercials and I was always like a John Denver type who was standing out on a deck in the mountains. Well,
they're always outdoors eating cereal.
Yeah.
Whilst camping. Like who brings cereal to camping?
Well, let me tell you something. Seeing those commercials led to young Freddie Morris taking his breakfast outside one day and just eating it standing in the backyard.
You put your flannel on and your vest and you play John Denver and you...
I just went outside and ate cereal because I was like, this is how you're supposed to do it.
Did you feel something?
It was nice out that day.
Move?
It didn't move.
Did it move?
You had a bowel movement, right?
Yeah. Well, I was eating different kinds of cereal, though. But I think it was, you know, what's funny is I think it may have been the first time we bought grape nuts. And I'm like, I'll be right back. I have to eat this in the backyard. So in the commercial.
Oh, that's adorable.
Yeah. Well, I was dumb.
What about Total? Remember Total?
Yeah.
Do you know anyone that ever ate Total? Because you had to eat a million bowls of other cereals to equal one bowl of Total.
Just to get the nutrients.
To equal it's one bowl of Colon cereal. Blow.
Yeah. I
will never not remember Colon Blowing you in the morning.
You'd have to eat over 10,000 bowls.
Young listeners, Google Colon Blow SNL commercial. Enjoy yourself.
It's a good
R.I.P.
one.
Phil Hartman.
Here's another bowl, though. I don't know if anyone ate Total.
I ate Total.
Yeah, what about Product 19?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, Special K.
Is that the same thing as Special K?
Weren't they basically the same thing?
What is Product 19?
It was like Total. It's like healthy cereal.
They named a cereal Product 19?
Yeah,
there's one that's got a big 19 on the box.
Do they still make that one?
I don't know if it's the same thing as Special K, but I think it's if it isn't, it's like basically the same thing.
Total tasted just like Wheaties, if I remember right. I loved Wheaties.
Okay.
Those were good. That was a good cereal.
Which, didn't they just taste like cornflakes?
But they're more like bran flakes.
But they were made of wheat.
Okay.
I don't know.
I'm just making a joke because I said they're like
cornflakes. They're called Wheaties.
Like bran flakes, but they're Wheaties.
But they're called Wheaties. Yeah, when you think about it, it's a real mindfuck, huh? Wheaties. What's Wheaties. That from? Didn't they have Wheaties in a movie?
Yeah.
Was it?
I don't remember.
This is great.
But you know it was in a movie.
Yeah.
What was the cereal that had the character that was a thief?
Oh, Kahuki Crisp.
Kahuki Crisp.
Now that is that is a cereal of kings.
Yeah.
Because it's just cookies, man.
Yeah, it is just cookies. I had a babysitter who gave me Kahuki Crisp. And I was like, this is like the babysitter gave you what? Billionaire.
What, you have Andy? You have to say it Kahuki Crisp.
Kahuki Crisp. Kahuki
Crisp. Yeah. I at that moment, I knew what it felt like to be like Elon Musk. I was like, I'm eating a bowl of cookies and milk with a spoon.
Like the goddamn queen.
It cut your mouth up real good.
Mine did. Mine got, but you got to let them soften up.
Yeah. Dur. Unless you got like a calloused mouth.
Yeah, I guess I was just very impatient.
Do you remember?
Yeah. Oh God, is this gonna be a "Do you remember" segment?
Do you remember the orange flavored? I think they were called OJs. Maybe it was a cereal, had like a cowboy for a mascot, but they were orange flavored.
I don't remember these.
I think it was called OJ cereal.
That might be good.
Do you guys remember those little packs of
Kellogg's? Did them
small, little like single serving cereals.
Yeah. I love the little baby boxes.
Yeah, and I remember getting those as a child. Like, I don't remember in what situations. I just remember them being a part of my life.
The little boxes,
little box of Apple Jacks.
Those are great. Oh yeah,
they're adorable.
There was always an Apple Jacks in there. Mm-hmm. Always.
And the cornflakes was all
one nut Cheerios.
Yeah, nobody wanted the cornflakes till it was.
I felt bad for the cornflakes.
Oh, OJ, roll 'em out. Keep them oranges growing. Bet there's OJ Joe rounding up oranges for Kellogg's, where they'll take the sweet
and
put it into new OJs, a crunchy, delicious orange tasting cereal. Let's eat 'em up.
That's one delicious orange taste, OJ.
That's my reason.
Hey, babe.
OJ's back with vitamin C, part of his complete breakfast.
He's branding the orange.
OJ's, the delicious orange tasting cereal.
Roll them out.
All right.
I mean, they had to be terrible for you, but they were so good.
They looked good. They looked good.
I love that shit.
It's under the guise of, it's oranges, so it has to be healthy.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Has vitamin C, something my body needs anyway.
Yeah. Don't worry about the other stuff.
Yeah,
innit?
Don't do that.
Are there new cereals out there, or have they hit the wall with cereal development?
I don't know. I think I'm stuck in a pat. Like, I'm just straight up Cheerios, the plain kind.
There's a lot of cereals out there.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. There's a whole aisle.
Keep track of your children.
There's some newer cereals.
Listener, tell us your favorite cereal.
I've seen them.
Do you mean like cereals with actual character like these had? Or just new cereals?
I think he just means new cereals.
There's just new cereals, yes.
Andy, do you just mean new cereals or new cartoon characters?
I feel there's new cereals, but they're always tie-ins to like a movie or something. But there's no new development in cereal, like a whole new character like Toucan Sam.
Oh, yes, you're right.
Something with personality.
Yeah.
Do you remember there was a Batman cereal when 89 Batman came out, the Tim Burton one?
Yeah, it was basically cereal.
They would take King Vitamin and put a new skin on it.
Yeah.
That's how they made, every time there's a promotional cereal, they'd be like, just King Vitamin, we'll put Batman on him.
I'm pretty sure there was a Ghostbusters cereal.
I think that one actually had like marshmallow ghosts or something. Yeah.
Is it time for our spookies to be back? Count Chocula and
almost.
You can get Count Chocula right now.
Yeah, are they out?
Oh yeah,
no, they're always out.
They always have that blueberry, okay. Right?
You can always. I don't care until it's spooky season.
Yeah. Yeah. Has anybody tried Magic Spoon? The like healthy adult. It's a for adults. It's adult. It's like $40. Ooh. You get a box. You get four boxes. It's like $10 a box, essentially.
That's expensive for cereal.
What in the fuck?
It is, cereal. But it's not.
What is it?
It's designed to be like a complete meal. Like you can eat it. It's not just like, it's not the empty calories that a kid's breakfast cereal is, but it's supposed to taste like it. It's just these guys, they created a nutritionally complete kid looking.
But it smells.
They have like a chocolate and a strawberry. Yeah.
It's like Kauki crisp.
It tastes like
mashed potatoes.
I think it's probably more along the lines of like a Count Chocula blueberry type thing. But I don't know, Kelly. This might be keto. I don't know if it is or not. But it's called Magic Spoon. I've considered it.
I feel like the milk is going to be very thick.
You have to drink the milk.
Just because of all the additives, it's just going to be like mush, basically.
I don't know.
True.
I feel like I have to order some and try it.
Oh, Lord.
Just because we brought it up. I feel like there needs to be a follow-up.
Maybe I'll give it to you for free since you talked about it on the show. Yeah,
if you send us send us a box, we'll talk about it.
The air. And
we'll eat it on the air.
Tell nuts.com that I'm talking about them all the time.
We'll be like, hey, Nuts.
And Rebel.
I saw Rebel at the Kroger.
Yeah, what kind?
I didn't look because I was buying something else. But that I was like, that's
chocolate.
That's that Rebel baby. Ice cream that Kelly's always on about.
I'm not keto, but I did have some keto ice cream. Friday
you don't
night.
Have to be. It's not keto ice cream. It's just low carb, low cal.
Well, I mean, the one I had was like the Halo Top keto ice cream.
Oh, yeah.
That is, they had a peanut butter cup one. It's really good.
Mm-hmm.
I was really impressed.
You know, listeners, sometimes you get the munchies and you're like, maybe I should have some healthy options available to me. And so we were like, let's get some fucking Halo Top in this house.
Yeah, we bought some healthier stuff just to have laying around because we've had uncontrollable munchies at all hours of the day.
All hours. Mm-hmm. Waking up at 3 a.m.
So you're like, maybe it should be a healthy thing.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, good.
Mm-hmm. All right, gang. Well, on the on the Patreon, if you want to support the show, patreon.com/NOTLP. Anything new up there, baby?
Just Origins. I have a Night of the Comic recorded, and I still got to edit the video. I think I'm looking at possibly changing the format of how we release that show going forward, but hopefully I'll have something done this week.
And
Fozzie probably has an Eyes on TV in the works, I'm sure.
Crapsolutely.
You know, Kelly's working on new designs for the merchandise.
Yes.
And we had a great meetup Thursday.
Yes.
So much fun.
Yeah, normally we get together,
good.
Yap a little, and watch the Tales from the Crypt, but we were having so much fun yapping.
Yeah.
That we just yapped for like almost 2 hours.
We did.
It was fun.
Yeah.
It was so much fun.
Mikey B joined us, gave us the lowdown on what it's like to go to Disney World during a pandemic. Spoiler alert, not as fun, but the lines are great. What else? Yeah, we just had fun. We had fun, guys.
There's still
fun to be had out in this crazy fucked up world.
Indeed there is.
You know?
So much fun.
Just have to get creative.
As we go through this collective trauma, I was talking about this with my dental hygienist Thursday. I was like, you know, we're all dealing with the same trauma at the same time right now. And it's really hard, but it's comforting to know that we're all going through it.
Well, some people aren't.
True, but they don't.
Some people are out and
they're not people.
Running around.
They're not people. They're bad people. They don't matter to me. Unless but they cross my path.
Agreed with what you're saying about most of us going through this together.
I think the highlight of this whole thing for me has been watching Freddie's hair grow. I think I marvel at it every day. Every day. I look at it and go, I have never seen this before. And we have been, I thought we had seen every facet of each other.
No,
in the last 25 years
of
our lives together. And it's becoming such a treat.
It's growing.
Talking about the hair on his head, right?
Correct.
Mostly.
Andy, I think you've got a slight mullet going on.
See, oh, you should bring that back.
It's curling at the end. Yeah. That's how long it is.
Right? Oh, you're getting a Kurt Russell.
I got the duck's ass myself.
Andy's getting a little duck's ass too.
I think Andy's is going to grow out more in the tough guy mullet shape.
Yeah.
As long as he's got a bobby pin, he'll be all right. Kelly, of course, is lucky to live with a woman who can cut hair.
Yeah.
And do a really good job.
I mean, mine grows out anyway.
True. You let your freak flag fly.
Yeah, your hair grows up as opposed to down.
Yeah, this is true.
And I think at the beginning of this, I thought, oh, Freddie's got really curly hair. It's just going to poof out and out and out and out and out. But gravity is a thing, guys.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I know.
It's just been fun.
So, yeah, anything else for the top?
You want a little off the top?
You want anything for your bottoms? A little something for the weekend? I can't feel my face when I'm with you.
Hello, boys and girls. It's time for Straight to Video Russian Roulette.
So, how would you feel about going to the mountains for Christmas with Grace? She really wants to get to know you guys.
That's our mom's hat.
Oh, I'm sorry.
You okay? I don't want to leave you here with the kids if you're not feeling up to it.
I'm feeling fine. It was my idea, and it's a couple days. I can do a couple days.
Okay, guys, I'm off. Have fun.
What is that?
It's Grace.
Everyone committed suicide except for her.
Repent, and you will find salvation.
Guys! Things are very uncomfortable between us, and we're stuck in a house together. What is this? The power's out. Where are my things? It makes no sense. What? I heard something.
Repent. Repent your sins.
Hello? Did you do that?
We didn't do anything.
We're leaving.
What are you talking about? Look outside. We're stuck here.
So yeah, The Lodge. Has anybody else seen this? Beside you guys are muted.
I got him.
Oh, okay.
Is that little Billy Denbro?
Yes. Has anybody else seen this? Andy, Kelly?
No.
Yeah. But I thought you said Alicia Silverstone was in this.
She is.
But she's not in the trailer.
No. She's not in the trailer.
Oh, okay. I thought that was... I was going to say, like, she's real different. I guess that's not her at all.
In the trailer, it's Riley Keough.
Yeah.
Elvis's granddaughter.
Oh. Mm-hmm. I didn't know that.
Yeah. Lisa Marie Presley.
That makes sense. She kind of looks like Elvis.
Okay. I'm not going to spoil this because I really enjoyed it. It's a good movie. Everybody should watch it. It's on Hulu. Did have some slight problems with it. I thought it was a little, I don't know, maybe it was me yesterday. I wasn't ready for the slow burn. Maybe I needed something a little bit more bing, bang, boom.
Bing, bang, boom.
In the moment. But, you know, normally I do not mind a slow burn. So just.
So it was a slow burn.
It's a slow burn. These kids, little Billy Denbro and his sister, they are going to a remote mountain house with their father and his fiance. They're meeting her for the first time. And it's Christmas time, and they're going to go up there, and he's going to have to go back for work for a few days, but then he's going to come back.
It's Christmas time.
I'm leaving. If you've seen this movie, listener, you know I'm leaving some big stuff out because that would be spoilerific, and I don't want to get into that.
This is an easy movie to spoil because there's a lot of turns it takes.
Yeah.
If you give away one, that leads to the next. Yeah.
I'm not going to.
But apparently,
what?
Oh, you go.
No, go ahead.
No, you. Oh
my God. You.
I refuse.
Andy, go.
We can be here all day.
Andy?
So, does some of the spoilers involve Alicia Silverstone?
Yeah.
So,
I mean,
talking about her is spoiling it?
Kinda.
She's the kid's mom, so she features in that part of that relationship. But anyway, so creepy stuff starts going on, and as you heard in the trailer, Riley Keough, this character, I forget her name. Oh, Grace.
Yeah.
She had, when she was a child, had been part of a cult.
Like Hellbop.
Yes. And they had
Heaven's Gate.
Yeah. It's very much based on Heaven's Gate and all that stuff. So there's that aspect of it. What I thought was so cool about this movie is that it really kept me on my toes. I had like four theories as we were going through it, and I wasn't sure where it was going to go.
Were you right eventually?
Yes. One of my theories was right, but that felt like my outside, like, what are you doing, Freddie? Freddie is messing with my microphone.
I'm just trying to make it where it matches
for you. I hate you. She was in a cult, and so, but then, yes, the theories, then I'm back on track because Freddie ruined everything.
Sorry about that. I thought that I could do it without being seen.
I don't know how to.
I didn't want to.
Ignore. Anyway, yeah. Four theories, and I was like, this one seems super obvious. This is the one, but I don't want to say it out loud because then I'm like, then I'll sound stupid and Freddie won't love me anymore. But
I'm just sitting there judging you the whole time.
But then eventually I was like, okay, so here are my like three theories. And then I was like, oh shit, there's a fourth one, which I thought was kind of fun. Like keep me on my toes.
Yeah. It sounds good. It looked good. Yeah.
It's excellent. I mean, like it's underrated. Like if you go to IMDb, I think it has like a 6.
Which for a horror movie is like a 10.
That's true.
It's a horror movie.
I don't
10.
Trust anyone. You know, it's funny for being on a podcast about reviewing movies. I don't care about anyone. I mean, other than your guys's, I don't really care about anyone else's opinion about movies. And I don't ever look at ratings. And like when someone says to me, did you see what it says on Rotten Tomatoes or did you see what the rating? No, I didn't. Cause I have no give a shitting for that.
I don't usually seek that information out anymore. It just is there. You know what I mean? Like I go to IMDb to look up trivia or something and then I can't help but notice.
Oh, you see it. I'm not saying.
Just refuses to even see it.
You have blinders on?
I just, you know what I mean? It doesn't mean anything to me.
Did any of you see Goodnight Mommy?
No, I still haven't seen that yet.
It's the same directors and they fit together. Like it's almost a theme. With this,
seems like they got a mom thing.
Mom thing.
They got a mom. They got mommy issues. But
I was gonna say something.
I was just gonna say that it's just like it feels like they understand this subject matter in a weird way.
I think that they found their sweet spot.
Yeah.
So there was tension between this can't be a spoiler because it's in the trailer. It seems to be tension between the kids and the potential stepmom.
Yeah. Well, of course, right? That's kids are assholes and they do shit like that. I certainly did stuff like that to my mother.
Sometimes. Yeah. Sometimes they're cool.
Great.
Accepting angels.
It depends on, how you raise them. And apparently I was raised to be a monster. I do have a confession going back to the talking about reviews. I will only look at Rotten Tomatoes or other reviews where I want a reason to not watch something that I already didn't want to watch.
Oh, so like something I suggest.
Yeah.
You need validation.
Freddie's like, hey, this movie's supposed to be pretty good. You want to watch it? And I'm like, I don't want to watch it. But look at this rating on Rotten Tomatoes. Yeah. Fuck that, right? So I'm a good person.
Well, I go to reviews to either refute or validate my opinions.
Right.
If like a movie that everybody seems to love and I'm like, what are you talking about? I try to find reviews that back up my opinion. Mm-hmm.
Now, see, I do like to read people's. I don't like, I mean, you might say it's six one way, half a dozen the other, but like, I don't like to read reviews, but I do like to hear people talking about movies, like in like our movies. Like I like when people bring up movies and then there are like comment threads where there's all these different opinions on the movie. I feel like you get a real good sense of,
yeah,
of it that way.
See, I prefer to go in blind.
Oh no, I do too. I'm just saying sometimes I like to read. That's more about old movies.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Once I've seen a movie though, I love to go and dive in.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Me too.
Yeah.
I think I knew this would be a movie I'd enjoy. I think, you know, on Twitter, all the horror folks I follow, you know, were all very complimentary of the movie. So I knew I was in for something good. And I wasn't disappointed. But again, I was just needing a little bit more action, a little more excitement yesterday because I had spent most of the day napping. So my brain was like, girl, we need to get this show on the road. But again, that's not the movie's fault. 'Twas simply mine. So, yeah.
How were the performances, Amy? It looks like this Riley Keough. Keough.
Alicia.
It looks like she has to carry the movie on her shoulders. How did she do?
She did great. I thought the acting was fantastic.
Kids were really good.
Yeah. I mean, of course, you know, little Billy Dembro is going to be great. I have no idea what that kid's name is, and I don't care. His name is little Billy Dembro.
He'll always be Bill Dembro to me.
Thrusts his fist against the post. But yeah, I do recommend it. It's streaming on Hulu if you have that in the United States. I don't know about internationally. I can't help you with that. I don't live
internationally.
I'm sure I could Google it for you, but I'm not sure why I would have to do that for you. And you can do it for yourself. Or
what if you're in international waters?
Kelly makes a good point.
Can you get like Wi-Fi out in international waters?
I don't understand how it works.
I don't either. I know that there are like cables running in the ocean.
I don't understand how any of it works.
And I don't know if that's for Wi-Fi or just like phone lines. What are they? What's up? What's under there, man?
What's under there, man?
Man.
Hey, man. Like, what are they putting under the ocean, man? You know, they're pumping all kinds of like power and nuclear stuff, man. It's not good.
Like, what sort of irradiated fucking sharks are down there we don't know about yet? You know what I'm saying?
Big ones, man. They're going to come up on the land. They're going to eat our legs, man. But we're going to deserve it.
Yeah.
Because we put like, you know.
We did that.
Draws.
Yeah. We created fucking radioactive goddamn dolphins. And that's our fault.
We should. We should. Anyway.
Yeah.
I ran out of steam.
I forgot where I am and who I am.
I don't know what's happening anymore. The Lodge.
Yeah.
There you go. Good house porn.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Like, real excellent house porn.
Some of it is the kind of house porn where you're like, I don't know if I should like this house porn. But then you're like, no, it's there. And then some of it is really good house porn, like legit good house porn in the classical sense. You know what I'm saying? That big square house where you're like, I don't know if I should like this house or not. This house is choking on something. Oh, but somehow I'm still aroused.
Yeah, I had to go to the deep web for that.
Yeah. The big square house. Remember we were like, you hated the outside of it and the kitchen inside looked like it was in a camper or something.
Yeah. There's one house in here. I don't like the exterior. It's too modern.
It's very weird, but that's
very cubey.
If you were like had seen inside. Goodnight Mommy, Goodnight Mommy has a really strange architecture in it too. It's almost like the house from the host, or not the host, Parasite.
All right.
I'm just saying, I think the weird architecture is something that you're going to see in all of these filmmakers' movies as they make more of them. They're attracted to weird, blocky.
I just need a nice porch.
It's like an IKEA.
Yeah, it is very much. The outside is very much IKEA.
It's like if you ordered a house from IKEA.
Mm-hmm. It's the Schmergenbin. The Schmergenbin. Oh, yeah, that kit you get, and then you get a house. The Schmingaman. It comes complete with all the Malmos you need.
Mm-hmm.
They're built into
Allen
it.
Wrenches.
Mm-hmm. We have Malmos. Right.
Like, Allen wrenches this big, and then Allen wrenches this big, because you're building a house. All right. Well, that was fun. The Lodge.
Yay.
Go watch it. Okay. Let's get the Jack in the Box out.
Mm-hmm. Here we go now.
All right. Who's up first to crank it? Well, it's Freddie.
Yeah.
Freddy gon' crank it. Freddy gon' crank it. Freddy?
I like to crank it.
He does.
You like to crank it, crank it?
All right. Gonna keep cranking it. It's gonna be Kelly's turn.
Oh, dear.
Oh, dear. Oh, dear. No.
We gotta write these with darker, more bold ink. Darker.
Looks like I got it.
It's alive. Oh, it's alive. It's alive. It's alive. It's alive.
Uh-oh. Kelly, it's your turn.
Well, what's happening to me?
Oh, wouldn't you like to know? But I'm not going to tell you. Just kidding. It's on Netflix. It's called We Summon the Darkness.
We haven't done Netflix in a minute.
Right?
I've heard good things about this one.
A night at a 1980s heavy metal concert hits a grisly note when new friends find themselves in the middle of a satanic murder spree.
Oh, that's fun. We Summon the Darkness.
We Summon the Darkness.
Isn't Alexandra
Daddario.
Oh, hello, Alexandra. Oh,
we've seen her boobies, and they're pretty great.
Mm-hmm.
True Detective, right?
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
I remember her because she's beautiful, and I saw her boobies. But
she's also good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I remember Barack Obama came out and said he really enjoyed True Detective, and then she said somewhere, oh, great, now I know the president has seen my boobies.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a weird place to be in, right?
Maybe.
That's an honor.
For Barack Obama to see him? Sure. More of an honor if Michelle had seen them.
Hmm.
I love Michelle.
I'm sure they watched it together.
Mm-hmm.
So there the
you go. Isn't that funny?
I wish Barack could see my boobies.
Right?
When you think of the Obamas and you're like, if one of them had seen a TV show, you're pretty sure they watched it together. Or in our current president, you can almost assume the exact opposite.
Oh, absolutely.
That if there's something that one of the two of them is doing, the other one is not involved.
Oh, God, no.
I don't think they see each other until those press conferences.
Yeah.
So Trump is like, hey, I finished that season of The Office without you. That's okay, right? It's like, I thought we were going to watch that together.
You want to see me go high when they go low? I am sorry, Mr. Trump, that your brother died.
It doesn't count when you point it out before you do it.
Well, I'm still going to do it.
Plus, he's not listening.
I hope you grieved while you were playing golf yesterday, you fucking asshole monster. Yeah?
You're a bigger person than I am.
Well, I did close out my sympathy statement by calling him an asshole monster.
Yeah.
Asshole monster.
Asshole monster!
All right, anything else?
Mm-mm.
You going to pick another movie? Or a person? Or we already did that.
Oh my God, Freddy!
You want to know what's interesting?
Oh my God!
We Summon the Darkness. Kelly will be watching that.
Ugh.
Yeah.
Is that?
I'm going to watch it with Michelle Obama.
Yeah!
I have not left here in my home for so long.
I really haven't.
And it's starting to, my brain's starting to go a little bit. I think I'm going a little bit crazy.
Uh-oh, Amy?
Yeah?
Call me if you need any help.
Oh, please, I can take him.
Yeah.
Please. Please. I know where he keeps his testicles.
If you come in here and you hear me making fart jokes, or you don't hear me making fart jokes. That was a little Shining.
Yeah.
I
will say, you guys have a sturdy bathroom door, so.
Oh, like I could hide out in there? No, yeah. I don't think so.
No beer, no TV, make home or something, something?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right, gang.
So that was that, right? Okay, cool. We'll be back. The main attraction. Satisfaction. Guaranteed to rock the chains that bind you. Oh, oh, oh.
Told you throat in the river, did he?
I can hear you whispering, children, so I know you're down there. I can feel myself getting awful mad.
Here is all the passion and suspense the heart-pounding warmth of the best-selling novel that gripped millions.
Oh, wake up! Come on! Oh.
Superb, unforgettable performances by an extraordinary array of talent.
Figured I was gone, huh?
Run, hide in the staircase. Run quick! Ruby, shit! What do you want?
I want them kids.
I'm giving you to the count of three to get out of here, then I'm coming across the kitchen shooting you.
The combined powers of Paul Gregory and Charles Laughton brought the King Mutiny Court-Martial to Broadway. Now the screen receives that same creative, electrifying impact. The Night of the Hunter.
Great pick, Mel. Really, really a great, great pick. Oh, me, either Kelly, sorry. You're good. Yeah, this a classic. Really great on a revisit.
First time I've seen it.
Yeah, my first time as well.
Mine too. This is one of the movies. Stephen King talks about this in his book Dance Macabre, which is about the horror genre. And that was kind of the first place that, I mean, I guess I'd heard of it probably before that, but you know, I read that book in high school, just so you know. I didn't read it like last year, and you're like, you hadn't heard of that till last year. But it was the first place I really ever kind of got an idea that I wanted to watch it, and that was years and years and years and years ago, and this I finally got to. So thanks, Mel. It's real good.
Yeah, so the basic setup is there's this serial killer based on a real killer,
Harry Powers,
yeah, who hates women, kind of a Jack the Ripper type, really. Ends up in prison. His cellmate is a bank robber.
And a murderer.
Young Peter Graves, who has stashed $10,000 somewhere on his family's, I don't even want to call it a farm. It doesn't seem to be much of a farm, but it seems like farm it's adjacent. Land. It's land. his two kids and his wife, played by Shelley Winters, and then he goes to be executed, but he has given this away to Robert Mitchum's character during Pillow Talk. So Harry Powell, he knows
that there's money.
That there's money there, and this is his MO anyway. He kills, he's a black widower.
Yeah, he sees a real opportunity here. Not only can he go and get himself a widow, but also a widow that's sitting on 10 grand, which, as we talked about earlier at the beginning of this, is like near to $200,000 at the time.
Yeah.
What was that movie we saw? I think it was a Lewis pick.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It was real similar. The Lover's Lane Killers.
Yeah. I mean, it, you know, there's very clear differences in the stories.
That's a great movie. What was it called?
Is something Crimson?
Yeah. Deep Crimson.
Where the man is a con man and he's out to.
It feels like it was based on the same killer, doesn't it?
Yeah, but I don't think it is.
Yeah.
Anyway, neither here nor there. Yes. So Harry Powell.
Have you guys heard about Harry? What's his name? Harry Powell?
I never have. No. He was in the early Depression era. Yeah, they executed him. He was convicted for murdering like three women. But I wonder if there were more.
So
I'm trying to look through his Wikipedia.
Davis Grubb, I guess, read about this and inspired him to write a novel, The Night of the Hunter. Then 2 years later, Charles Laughton, who was in
Dr. Moreau,
who this is the only movie he ever directed. You would never guess that seeing this.
It's really beautifully directed. There were some directorial moments that I was like, this is like a Kubrick shot.
Yeah. The cinematographer was the same one who did The Magnificent Ambersons and all that. So that's like, that was like a groundbreaking Orson Welles movie. And then he moved on to work on this. And this is so contemporary in its look, and it's a masterpiece, like, but it's also a studio film.
So doesn't it feel like it, if it was made in the 80s, it would have been like a Spielberg movie? Doesn't it have that big, like, story feel. Anyway, sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt.
Oh, no. I just love he every shot he has that whole multi-plane effect of there being something in the foreground, something in the midground, something in the background. And
a lot of them are so centered.
Yes. And you could, it looks like everything. I like this style of filming. I don't want every movie to look like this, but obviously, you know, like you can see that this is a big influence on your George Lucas types and things like where, you know, using the irises and the transitions and just all those layers of everything looks like a painting.
Almost. Yeah. So I said the same thing. I said the literal exact same thing.
Oh
yeah.
My God.
It's awesome.
And also I wondered about, cause they, you know, they start with like an aerial shot, like a, like from a plane or something. And I wondered if this was like an, like how often they used that before this. Cause now, you know, drone shots and plane shots and shit are like a big part of big
yes.
to make a movie look big. And I wondered if this was one of the first times they maybe use shots like that, or I don't know.
Well, I own this on Apple Movies, and they've remastered the sound. It's in surround sound, and also the aspect. I don't know when this was 55, and I feel like the aspect that this is shot in, at least when we watched it, it was a full wide screen. So it was shot in 1.66:1. Which I don't know why. I always get mixed up of when widescreen became a thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's always a surprise to me, like in that era when it first started catching on, when I see a movie and I'm like, oh yeah, look at that. That so they did have that then. So anyways, yeah, it's panoramic.
Yeah. I would love to see this on the big screen.
Oh, it would look great.
Yeah.
I love that shot that, you know, if you go to IMDb, the still of the sun in the foreground. And then there is the hillock on the other side of the barn, and then on the horizon,
yeah.
very much like in the Invaders from Mars kind of look. There's the fence,
the fencing. I brought that up too. Is it the same set?
I don't think so. It's just
Invaders from Mars. That's yeah. Because I was like, that's a. I remember that from a movie.
Yeah, it's a very similar shot. And then you see the silhouette of the Reverend on the horse, which I read. I didn't know this, but that's a little person on a Shetland pony that they did for perspective to force perspective. You can't tell looking at it.
No.
So it's just. I mean, there are moments where you can see the seams in the backdrop where it's supposed to be the skyline and stuff. So, but I love that. I it makes it more dreamlike.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that it's like a, you know, you can tell everything was shot on a soundstage for the most part.
Oh, yeah. The river is clearly like a tank.
Right. And then the forced perspective on the barn even.
Yeah. But I do like that. I like that look. Like it's got all kind of goes together. You know what I mean?
Yeah. It's crazy. Again, I come back to thinking, I guess Charles Lawton had done so much stage direction that it's not super shocking that he was able to make such a great looking movie on his first go, because in a way it almost looks like they're just aiming a camera at a stage in some parts. But then he'll be like, hey, guess what? Here's a bunch of movement with this camera all of a sudden too. So you're like, and it's just in the right places.
Yeah, that shot of, not to spoil things, but that shot of Shelley Winters at the bottom of the river.
Oof, that's fucking haunting.
First of all, it's a gut punch of a scene, especially taken in context of the time the movie was made. And it's just so gorgeous and dark and creepy. I said it would make a great doom metal album cover.
Yeah.
That shot, but it's just such a, it's really so dreamy. Like you said, it's so dreamy and just kind of daring for the time, not daring like but just like, I don't know, you don't see shots like that very often. Well, also, like so much is happening.
Yeah, it was real super surreal when we get to that later on, that point in the story, that the water was so clear, and that the old man in the boat looking down there, like, again, even when he's shooting from the top down, he always has the three layers, the multi-plane thing kind of happening, where you have the man in the boat, the layer of water and seaweed and stuff, and then down below that she's at the bottom in that old car, and like, even that, everything has that like depth no matter what he's doing, or when they're moving down the river and there's the different wildlife in the foreground.
Oh yeah.
It felt like riding through like one of the dark rides. Did you get that feeling too, Andy? Yeah, it feels like riding through a dark ride. A lot of the movie does.
Living with the land.
So much fun. But yeah, so Powell ends up making it after he is...
He fancies himself to other people. Like, he tells them, I'm a preacher. I've got a special relationship with God. I've got my own religion. And here's my tattoos of love and hate on my knuckles. And I'm going to tell you the story. And his version of God is just not cool. He's an angry, violent, demanding God, because he is that himself.
Well, I just like the contrast between his version of God and religion contrasted with Lydon Gish's.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. When you know that really when he's talking about God, he's talking about himself. When he's praying, he's talking to himself.
It's almost a Gollum Schmeagle situation.
Exactly.
Because he describes the two hands as like, you know, am I going to give in to the hate or the love? And like, which one wins? You know, he says basically he tries, you know, he sells it as love always wins. But the truth of it is that it doesn't. And it shows that how... He really has such a loose like tether of control, because when he will put his hate hand in his pants, he frequently like engages his switchblade and tears right through his clothes.
Yeah.
Cause he can barely control this desire to kill is what I, the way I read that.
Yeah. Oh, agreed.
Yeah. It was very much like the, what's his name? Anton Sugar or
Sugar?
No Country for Old Men.
Old Man Island.
Old Man Island.
Is it Anton Seguir? Is that the character?
Sugar, wasn't it?
Is it Alicia? but he that character, I always felt like he was kind of aping this character in some respects. But yeah, he's just a down and dirty evil character. He's pure evil.
Well, he weaponizes religion, as opposed to like Lillian Gish's. She actually takes the word of God and like really believes it and uses it for good.
Yeah, when we get into the third act of the movie, Lillian Gish's character turns up, who is this altruistic old lady who takes in orphans and a badass. Also, just it's amazing that her. I was looking at Amy, and I'm like, this lady was in Birth of a Nation, and then she's in this what feels like a new, like a modern movie. She was like through the whole beginning of and transitioned from being a silent film actress to being so like this performance is still super believable to me.
She's very naturalistic. I had that same thought. I was like, for someone who started off in silent movies, she got a real good grasp on like modern acting and just being naturalistic.
And it's funny, like when you think about it, you're like, she has a good grasp on it, but at the same time, maybe she was even creating that.
Yeah,
like, you know, you forget that like she was there from the beginning of film, so like what we expect to see, a lot of that's based on the groundwork that people like her laid out.
Yeah, it's back when people had faces.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
she was really great.
No, I wanted to actually, that character reminds me that isn't it interesting that Shelley Winter's movies in general tend to end up being about sort of strong women and women's issues during these times when those were maybe not always popular things to talk about.
You know, I didn't really think about that, but...
Yeah.
I think you got a good point.
That is a good point.
All three of the movies we watched were kind of about the lives of women specifically, you know.
I've never seen Tentacles.
I'm not saying they all do. I'm just saying.
The ones we chose. Well, yeah. You know, Shelley Winters is an interesting character in this because she's not particularly strong.
She's not.
No. She's, you know... I forget her name. Doesn't matter. Shelley Winters. She's, you know, the mom. Her husband has been hanged for murder and bank robbery.
Yeah.
She's stuck with these two kids who are fine. Pearl's adorable.
She's kind of horny.
Oh, Pearl's so cute. We gotta take a minute for how adorable Pearl is.
Looked like a little old lady.
I thought you were gonna say. I thought she looked like a little baby Maisie.
Oh no,
Maisie. What's her name?
Maisie Williams. Yeah.
Yeah.
But there were times it was like that Reddit, the subreddit, like 13 or 30. It was like 3 or 30.
It's so funny. I said the same thing about The Lodge. The Lodge
girl.
Yeah. The girl in that. I was like, she's giving real 13 or 30 face right now. You were saying, yeah, sorry.
So she's, you know, left alone and kind of disgraced a bit in their small, tiny little town. And, you know, this dude breezes in. He's Mr. Preacher. He loves God. He knew her husband. He talked to her husband. He's, you know, wooing her in a sense, but, you know, he's just trying to get the money.
Yeah. That's Willa Harper was the character's
name.
Yes.
And but she is just so ready for somebody to take care of her.
But at the same time, she's complicated and sophisticated enough to understand that she questions his motives from the word go.
She does, but she doesn't.
Which you didn't see a lot of that in this era of filmmaking. It was enough to show somebody falling for something.
She did it for a second. That old lady Spoon was like,
yeah, Icy Spoon.
Come on.
What a great name.
He's a nice guy, likes Jesus. Let him bone you and marry you.
Yeah.
She's like, okay, you know, it makes sense. So they get married and, you know, she's like, cool, time to get down and dirty with my new husband. And ooh, that was just a creepy ass scene.
Well, I feel like that was a real subtext. Again, very interesting to me for the time. Mm-hmm. And of course it's based on a novel. So novels at the time really did deal with a lot of, you know, human sexuality issues. Not always so much the movies. And it is kind of all about like the old Icy Wiener. What's her name?
Icy Spoon. Wiener.
She's given this whole thing about, you know, she's kind of that school of thought at the time where it's like women's orgasms aren't real. We're not supposed to be into that. Yeah. Or do I feel like Shelley Winters sort of represents the reality of like she's a young woman who's like, you know, comfortable with her desires and, you know, her physical needs, and that's, they're kind of scoffing, like that character Spoon, she's sort of scoffing at how naive Willa is for like indulging her quote-unquote youthful impulses or whatever. But there's like this whole discussion, because even the two women that the old lady's talking to, is she saying basically like, I just lay there and think about other things. They're even kind of looking off like, I don't know.
Like, shouldn't be like that, ma'am. Sorry about your life.
Well, I like that when they look at Powell, they're like, well, maybe with him.
But that's
there's the thing, kind of the like, hints, yeah.
Powell knows that nothing gets panties wetter in these little towns than a traveling preacher. It's true. Like
wet ass Protestants.
He brings his own bucket and a mop in the town.
Yeah.
Well, and, I would say he is a good looking man. I would have probably giving up my children like Sarah Winters did.
My dad loved Robert Mitchum. I mean, I'm not saying he's attracted to him. I don't know, but he did love him.
My mom did too. And I can say she was attracted to him.
And I do, that's a great scene too, where when he basically tells her like, I'm not going to have sex with you. And she's just devastated. Mm-hmm. It's like this, they make it into this really great moment of like her looking at her future. Like, I guess I'm never going to have sex again. Not even realizing that he's going to kill her, but, you know.
It's just not just the way what he told her. It's the way he did it. That was more disturbing to me.
Like, he just broke her down.
Yeah.
I mean.
He, like, made her stand in front of the mirror and say, women's bodies aren't for enjoyment. They're
making babies.
Making babies.
He's like, do you want more babies? She's like, no. He goes, then you don't get any dick. You can't have your pudding.
It was just so humiliating that it just was so, it was so disturbing.
Mm-hmm.
He's a nasty dude.
Yeah. And it just showed his hate. It just, that those lines just show how much he hated women.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I think it is even more poignant after you go through our time post WAP.
Everything is post WAP from here on out.
In the conservative male and female response to this song about how filthy it is and how women shouldn't talk like that and how women shouldn't have wet ass pussies. And it's like,
no one said a thing about Chuck Berry's dangling.
You know? And then I watch this scene and I'm like, damn, that shit's still floating around.
Yeah.
Fucking shit. Well, he breaks her down and rebuilds her as another, as a zealot.
Yeah.
As this crazy religious, like, woman who is
she's
just
even
trying to get clean.
Saying she's even preaching his. Yeah.
Well, I feel like going back to what you said earlier, where she was cautious at first, you know, I feel like this is an example of like how sad it is where someone knows better, but then it's like she's so lost because she did seem to really love her bank robbing husband. Like they had a physical connection, like it's implied. And it's almost like she's so broken and lost from that she's just like, look, I just need to be with somebody. So I'm just going to go all in on this and hope for the best. And then, he ends up getting her preaching about how dirty she is. And it's fucking crazy.
And I think she goes too far in some way. Like, he's like, well, first of all, he already hates her. Of course he hates her. He's just trying to get where the money is out of John, the little kid.
Yeah.
And
the way he manipulates the little girl too is so sad. Because she just
wants a daddy,
and she's so cute. And you just your heart melts. You're just like, oh, please don't be mean to this little girl.
Yeah.
I mean, it gets to a point where he's just like, all right, you know, I'm done with you, Shelley Winters. And he just, you don't really see what he does. You just see him bringing the knife down to her. Yeah.
Well, and that scene, it was so heartbreaking because I think she knew what was coming.
Mm-hmm. Well, he always intended to kill her.
Yeah. But she just laid there while he approached her with a knife, and she was almost accepting of her fate.
Yeah.
That's true. She did kind of just let it wash over her.
Mm-hmm.
Sucks to be a woman.
I think he manipulated her so much that she kind of believed that she deserved it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And there's probably, I also got like an aspect of, so she just kind of gave up at that point.
Mm-hmm.
She's just like, there's nothing left to me. So you might as well, if that's what he wants to do, you know, he gets to do that.
Does young Shelley Winters remind anybody else of Captain Marvel, Brie Larson?
A little bit. I can see that now that you say that. Yeah.
Yeah. Once I saw it, I couldn't stop seeing it. Yeah. Her eyes are real similar.
Yeah.
But
you know, I do that, and then I'll start picturing those actors remaking stuff and everything. And you're like, oh, I wonder how that would play out.
And then you're
whittling on your porch, and you're thinking about whether your crops are going to come in this year or not.
At this point, you know, she's dead. I love that. How clear was the water back then?
Oh, my gosh.
Before we were polluting it.
That was an artistic license.
Yeah, like the old man's out fishing. And he gets his hook stuck, and he looks down into the water and very clearly sees, you know, Shelley Winters at the bottom of the lake.
I wonder how they achieved this, because that looks like she's just down there.
They're long shot.
And it's a long shot. Yeah,
the one from the profile, like the one from the side, you know, where you're actually down underwater. I wonder if they created a dummy.
That's what I was wondering. If it's a wax figure.
Mm-hmm.
It's a damn good one. It's like a Madame Tussaud level.
Yeah. It really looks like Shelley Winters. It doesn't look fake at all.
Yeah.
And her hair is like floating in the scent. Like there's these like underwater grasses. It's gorgeous. And the guy who discovers, we haven't talked about Uncle Bertie or Bernie or whatever his name is. And he's kind of an old drunk coot whose wife died years and years ago. And he's buddies with little Johnny. And he's suspicious of the preacher. But he's like an old guy. I think he's just kind of like in his own world now. But he's like, you come running if you ever need help.
The character is Uncle Bertie Steptoe.
Yeah. He's kind of like the old guy in Fried Green Tomatoes that kills, spoiler alert, that kills
the abusive husband. God, it's been so long since
I've seen that. Yeah, I haven't seen that in a million.
Okay.
Secrets in the South.
Is that Don Ameche?
It's not. It's nobody really. It's nobody like.
It's Don Ameche like, adjacent.
It was that guy wasn't even. He wasn't like Don Ameche old, but he was like an old homeless dude.
Oh, okay.
Smokey Lonesome was that character's name.
Smokey Lonesome.
That's a great name.
That is a great name.
Yeah.
But
I love that scene where he's talking to the picture of his wife.
Oh yeah.
And he's describing what he sees in the water. and just it's like almost lyrical the way he talks about like Shelley Winter's body.
Oh yeah, it's really poetic. And this is this moment where, because everybody in town still buys, not everybody, but the majority of people still buy Powell's preacher bit. And he's so like brazen, like he just writes this letter from her, like, I went away. Like, it's so suspicious, but everybody's buying into it. And of course, if Birdie just told them that she was at the bottom of the river. Now, he's right, though. He says, well, they blame it on me, so I can't tell anybody.
Right.
And we may never have known, because, I mean, Harry Powell said she wrote a letter. Or did he say that? I can't remember.
There was a fake. Well, didn't he fake that letter? And then he also wrote a letter after he killed her to the Spoons, saying that they were going out of town because
going to his sister's farm somewhere
because she had run off because she'd been drinking.
Right, she'd run off. So they would have still probably blamed. They could have blamed it on Birdie, but
and you believe it too, like
yeah,
because you see that like him debating on whether to call. You're talking about him debating on whether or not to call the police.
Yeah,
that's you see that shit all the time in these true crime shows where you're like, well, why didn't you call us when you found the body? And they're always like, I thought you'd blame it on me.
Yeah, which happens.
It does happen. It's a valid fear.
Yeah, it is a valid fear. So, yeah, it's a very modern movie.
Yeah. I was trying to find that bit you were talking about where he's describing finding the body. Because I almost feel like that was probably pulled from the novel.
Probably
it's probably how they described it in the book and just put it in his mouth as dialogue because it was super poetic. Like you were saying, it was just a really great performance.
Mm-hmm.
It was heartbreaking too. Just hearing him describe her body.
Yeah.
Like she was, her throat was slit. He's described it as like another smile.
Yeah.
Yeah. Second her, mouth. Yeah.
Yeah. And her hair like waving in the water like seaweed.
Yeah, there were some real gut punch emotional moments in this movie too, like he even said
she looked beautiful even though she was dead.
Yeah, that was one. Just seeing her down there, because you know he killed her when he sends off the letter or they get it, but because like you said, you didn't see it happen, so like for me I was just like, well, I guess her character's just gone. And then all of a sudden, like her body is just like they kind of rub your face in it a little bit. And it's real, again, in the context of that movie when it was made, it felt very shocking to me. And then I feel like my biggest gut punch moment was when the little boy and the little girl are hiding downstairs. And the little girl says, did mommy go to see daddy? And the little boy goes, well, yeah, I reckon that's exactly what happened. And it's like he knows. This little boy is very savvy. And it's just like this like really dark moment where like he knows that this guy killed his mom.
Well, when he knows for sure later with the where he overhears them confirming it. And then he takes that rabbit with all the money in it and just starts beating on the body.
Yeah.
Saying, you know, bring her back kind of essentially.
Yeah. But it's such a great moment. Great line.
Yes, sir. It was good shit.
Mm-hmm.
Great pick, Mel.
Great good job. Pick. Thanks.
There was some funny behind the scenes stuff with that little girl where apparently the director, Charles Lawton, didn't get along with her is the way it was phrased.
Well, I could see, you know, her character was kind of a pain in the ass. I mean,
she's a baby.
She's a little girl. She's adorable, but you know.
She's an albatross.
There's talk about like she had a hard time, I guess, following some directions.
She was like three, so
I know she was just a itty bitty little baby. And but they said a lot of those reaction shots, because there were moments where she looks really scared or hurt, and when she's interacting with the Reverend especially, those were just where they just let the camera run. Mm-hmm. Where she was being like chastised by Charles Lawton for a mistake or something, and then they would cut that in as reaction shots.
Well, later. It's funny you bring up all the reactions with the Robert Mitchum. I was surprised at how much suffering these kids went through. Mm-hmm. And how much danger they were in.
Yeah. Super dark movie.
Yeah. You don't really see that in movies, especially from that era. Because there's that one time, at one point, like Robert Mitchum holds the boy down and holds a knife to his neck. And I was like, oh my God, he's going to slit this kid's throat in front of us.
Yeah, there's no reason not to suspect that's going to happen. The first time I saw this movie, I totally thought he was going to make his way through the whole family before the end of it.
Well, yeah, and I certainly not. I mean, that was, again, even if you it doesn't end up happening, but that was going to be what happened. I mean, he was going to murder those kids and move on. Like, it's just the idea, like, hanging in the air that you knew that if everything went this guy's way, once he got the doll, he was just going to kill those two kids and throw them in the river and then move on.
And the kids ran away on their own because I feel they couldn't go to the authorities because nobody's going to believe them because they're going to believe the preacher man over these kids.
Mm-hmm.
So these poor kids are floating down the river for like a week, right?
Yeah, for a while.
It was very Grave of the Fireflies.
Yeah. Oh, and I also love Lillian Gish as kind of the counterpoint to the other sort of old woman character.
Yeah.
Where the other Mrs. Spoon is just completely taken in. She wishes she was young enough to bang the preacher, clearly. And she just is completely taken in. There's this great moment, again, great line, so modern, where Lillian Gish is looking at the preacher and she tells the little boy, like, you shouldn't talk to your dad that way. And she already suspects something's weird. And then the little boy says, he ain't my dad. She said, he ain't no preacher either. Like, she knew the whole time. And it's just this great moment where she is not at all taken in.
Yeah. Well, that's the great, one of the great things about this is characters, they are suspicious of things in this movie.
Yeah.
Like, there's a lot, they allow like some sophistication for the characters where they didn't have to.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just like, an added layer.
Because it actually makes them a little bit more culpable sometimes, because it's like they're kind of choosing to overlook those things. Like, like Mr. Spoon is clearly like not buying the preacher story that, you know, she just up and left at first. Like, he's hearing this and he's like, I don't know about that.
Well, the combination of that opening where they talk about a wolf in sheep's clothing, and also the tree, an evil tree will bear evil fruit and you'll know it by its fruits, which is a great, I love that quote, that, you know, that's, they're just like, wait around, like give somebody enough rope to hang themselves with and keep an eye on them. You can judge somebody's character, you know?
Yeah.
And that's the case with the more sophisticated characters in this movie. They just, once they take him in, they tend to know who he, what he is.
Yes. Agreed. And I also think, like I said, I think some of the other characters, again, it was just like easier for them to believe, like when they get that ridiculous letter and the husband, Mr. Spoon, who is so suspicious, he's just kind of like, oh, see, it's okay that these kids wrote this letter. You know, he says they're all fine. So I guess everything's fine. Good, good, good. It's like he's choosing to like take the easy way and not go with his, you know, his instinct that something's wrong.
He's a Mike Pence to his very core.
Yes.
He's there. He's like, I have principles, but I'm not going to act on them. And I'm going to call my wife mother.
Yeah.
So that's that.
That's that.
The spoons, the useless spoons. You think are going to be these cuddly, sweet characters, but they go from,
He was so adorable, just looking at him.
Yeah, he was a cutie.
He takes like a little drink of booze when he like lifts it up. And he.
It was like almost just a juxtaposition between these cartoony characters and the darkness of Margaret Mitchum's character.
That was a very sitcom-y moment. There were moments where it felt like a TV show of the day. Like
F-Troop,
like when he like upends the fucking booze in his mouth and like his eyes go up and he makes that real cartoonish face. I felt like I was watching an episode of the Munsters for a second.
There was even moments with Robert Mitchum's character that were like that, where he just pops up comically, you know, when she has the gun trained on his butt and then he backs up and when he pops up, he's like, ooh,
It's a flamboyant. It's definitely got, like, again, speaking of Charles Laughton as a stage director, I feel like now that I know that, some of that makes more sense, because in some ways it almost feels like a musical too, without singing in moments,
yeah,
like what you just described. So that makes a lot of sense.
Well, I love that sound he made when he got shot by Gish.
Yeah.
it was just so like animalistic and like primal.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Kind of cartoony.
It was just such a contrast to this badass character he portrays.
It's like Yosemite Sam.
Yeah. But he lets out this really childlike, you know, animalistic sound.
It was like a howl.
Yeah.
Like he's in a very modern touch.
Yeah, he's not as badass as he portrays himself to be as.
Yeah, this movie was way ahead of its time.
Agreed.
I said that like what you said, basically. And when we got done, I was like, this could have been a fucking Spielberg movie if this was now. Like, that's what it felt like.
It almost feels more like a Coen's brother movie to me.
Coen's brother.
Well, I just meant in the scope. Like, it has budget, shiny, not a Spielberg movie in terms of the storytelling necessarily, but although it's sort of the way it's played out.
Yeah,
it is. It's just got that big story, super kind of shiny and just big shots feel to it.
Big story energy.
Mm-hmm. That movie's got a real big story.
Biggest.
It's huge.
Put your story in my mouth.
Did you feel like there was a lot of orphan movies after World War II? Like, that was more of a theme because people were just around orphans more?
It seems to be. And the Great Depression, and, too. I feel like there are a lot of orphans.
Well, yeah, I don't know when the book was originally written.
1953.
Okay.
Yeah.
Remember on Unsolved Mysteries, the Robert Stack version, and it was just like, here's a story about the orphan train.
Yeah, there was so
in the 20s and the 30s. And
there were so many orphan stories on Unsolved Mysteries because it was that era. It was them, those kids as adults now,
were wrestling with what it meant to be like fucking itinerant children, hobo children.
But that's what's great about the Rachel Cooper character. When what a sweet, pure character. Like, that was real moving to me because my dad grew up in a lot of these similar situations. I thought about that a lot, like when, because he was in different foster homes.
Yeah.
And when she has that that line about kids being resilient, and that she's like a tree with strong branches, and this is what she was put on earth to do. She figured out she was good for something.
Yeah.
She says, I'm a strong tree with branches for many birds. In that bit about kids at the end, about them being strong and coming back from things that adults couldn't come back from.
Yeah.
No, she is the exact opposite. Yeah. She's such a great counterpoint because even, again, it even comes back to sexuality when even the oldest orphan girl is kind of confessing to her that she's, you know, basically been having sex.
For ice cream.
Yeah.
Not just the for woman, ice cream. For magazines.
Again, someone who ostensibly is like very religious, she, instead of judging her, she's just like, well, you know now, and or these are just things that happen, and
you just want love.
Yeah, she doesn't judge her. Like, she just still takes care of her. It's a really great counterpoint.
Well, she walks the walk, which you're not used to seeing that, especially it would have been totally acceptable in 1955 for her to have a scene of anger and berating that kid and all this. But instead, she's really like a genuinely forgiving, like what you see as a Christian should be.
Right.
Based upon, you know, what we're told about what they believe in. Right. She was like the real deal. And that was that's what you needed, that as like a strong counterpoint to him.
Yes.
Because he even thinks that God's okay with murder.
Right.
Well, he has created God out of his own worst impulses.
Right.
He's rationalizing.
But there is a scene where I actually got choked up, where the little boy is talking to Leland Gish's character, and he's being like vulnerable with her, and he kind of just reaches out his hand and towards her hand.
Yeah.
And it was just such a tender, gentle scene that
I mean, he tells her to tell the story again of Moses. Yeah.
Yeah.
That was a great scene.
Yeah. It was real. It needed that sweet counterpoint because it was so dark.
Yeah. And very Spielberg-y.
No.
Kids in danger. That's another Spielberg thingy.
These poor kids are, I mean, Pearl should be okay, but I'm just, you know, you worry about John when he grows up and, you know, is he going to get what he needs?
Johnny is going to, you guys don't watch Burn Notice, but to me,
who Johnny, does? Nobody does.
Johnny.
It's you and 65 year olds.
Fucking Burn Notice. If you watched it, you'd understand that movie.
Yeah, Andy.
Dress show is hot, hot, hot. There's a lot of ass and killing in that show.
Ass and killing. What else do you need?
But that character, like, I was like, this kid's going to grow up to be Michael Weston, which is Burn Notice. And because that guy's just like a spy, and he's like, he grew up as a, you know, having to be a kid who got like beat up by his dad and stuff and like being resourceful. It's like this kid, because his dad looked at him, he's like, don't you tell anybody where that money is. And that kid looked at him like, don't you worry. Like, yeah. He already knew. He was already hard as rock.
Poor
Let me rephrase that. He was already like a strong soul.
Hardened.
Yeah, he was hardened in his heart.
Yeah. So there you go.
Mm-hmm.
But I think, you know, as long as Lillian Gish is around, they're going to be okay.
Yeah.
What did you think of the singing as Mitchum would, like...
It's creepy.
It was super creepy.
What was he singing? What were the words?
I don't. Was it? It wasn't God as in his holy temple. That's Poltergeist too.
Or do you mean the singing when they were both singing?
Well, that too. There was that moment where he and Rachel were both singing, and that was also. I like that because he's trying to intimidate them, and then she's like, "We won't be intimidated. Let's see if we can harmonize."
Yeah,
you ain't shit. Is basically how that plays.
She's such a great character. She was so hardcore. I loved it.
Yeah. Do you think that the character, the Reverend in Poltergeist 2, was based on Powell? It's very,
I don't know.
It's a very similar. You remember that sequence where the old man comes knocking on the family's door?
And maybe. Probably.
I'm surprised you don't remember that.
Oh my gosh.
I've only seen Poltergeist 2 once.
Yeah, that was like one of the better moments in the movie.
Because I didn't like it.
Yeah, revisit and just look at those scenes.
I will.
Because I think it's supposed to be, because they dress him up like this character even, and the actor they have playing him, though, of course, was dying when they were making that movie. He had advanced cancer. So it's like there's an extra level of eeriness because he looks like he's already dead.
Yeah.
But you know, it's a creepy setup.
Is anybody else like, okay, we're in this time period in our country, in the world, where it's very possible we go into an actual depression again, right? It's possible. I don't know what the future holds, but that's definitely a word being bandied about. And then we go back and we watch this movie and I'm like, I don't want it to get all dusty.
You're worried it's just going to get dusty and dry.
I don't want orphan children everywhere.
I am so close to having sex for ice cream.
Well,
you would have done that anyway.
Whatever happens.
That Halo top, man, that was some good shit the other night.
It was pretty good.
I'm just saying, like, you hear the word being bandied about now, and then I watch this movie, and then I think about all the things I know about the depression. I'm like, I don't wanna.
Excuse me.
So hopefully we don't.
I've had the worst reflux.
Nobody cares, babe.
It probably has something to do with all this talk of the depression coming.
There you go.
Mm-hmm.
So did anybody see the, I take it nobody's seen the TV movie they made where they try to remake this in the 90s?
No.
No. Who's God, in that? No.
Patrick Duffy? That?
No, it was, hold on. I'll find out.
It's not Patrick Duffy.
I don't think I've seen it. It's Richard Chamberlain.
Oh.
Who plays the main character. It's actually supposed to be pretty decent. But it's, what kind of brass balls do you have to try to remake a movie like this?
Well, they remade Psycho.
Well, actually, there's a movie called The Streets of, or no, there was an episode of The Streets of San Francisco called River of Fear, where they basically cribbed the plot from this.
Michael Douglas, Streets of San Francisco.
Other things.
That was a TV show?
Yeah.
Yeah.
They were cops, weren't they?
Yeah, it was, what was his name? The guy with the big nose. He was the president of the Academy forever. Carl, Malden. Carl Malden.
Yeah. Thank you.
And Michael Douglas. It was Michael Douglas's first.
Oh, I've literally never heard of this show.
Me either.
It's a cop show.
Cop show.
Y'all old.
Yeah.
We just pay attention.
You are old. Andy and I are like over here like Grandpa Fred and Grandpa Kelly. They remember stuff. We're like, hey, Andy, you ready to do some TikToks later and
do some dances?
Yeah.
I'm like, Carl Malden and Kirk Douglas' son in his very first acting debut. I watched it when I was a youngster.
Yeah, well, Andy and I, when we were youngsters, we watched Hannah Montana. Yeah.
It came on after The Odd Couple and Dick Van Dyke.
Then there's Eddie's character in the Rocky Horror Picture Show. He had the love and hate tattoos on his hands. That was a nod to this. Oh, yeah,
that's been used a million. Like, that's become like a thing, a pop culture thing is the tattooed knuckles.
Yeah, I love it on The Simpsons because they only have four fingers.
Yeah, and it said hat.
Yeah, but they had the line over the A to make it like longer. It was like L-U-V-H-A-T.
Hat.
And here's something I never knew. In Raising Arizona, they use the quote where it says, sometimes it's a hard world for little things.
Oh, see, there's your Coen Brothers connection.
Do the Right Thing.
It was a huge influence on them.
They did the love hate thing. Married with Children, Peggy made a Little Lamb episode. The Bundys discuss one of Peggy's relatives with love and hate tattooed to her knuckles. We already mentioned The Simpsons.
Yes.
It's referenced in Wild at Heart. Silence of the Lambs. Buffalo Bill had love tattooed on his hand.
Just love?
Yep.
I don't remember. Huh. So this is an extraordinarily influential movie.
Very much. Yeah.
And I had never heard of it or seen it until now.
Well, now you have.
And now I have. You guys, I feel more complete than I ever had before.
Good. Mm-hmm. You feel like the last puzzle piece has been inserted into you?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Good.
All right. Well, cool. Thank you, Mel. You did very good.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, very good pick. I have to say this was a pretty good month overall.
Mm-hmm.
This was the Cadillac of the Shelley Winters movies we watched, although I did like all of them.
The Big Lebowski, The Dude Abides, was inspired by her saying, abide. They abide. That's why they wrote that line, apparently.
Y'all, this is like the movie from which all other movies have sprung.
Mm-hmm.
Did you know that?
I did.
I'm just waiting for Frey to drop some more references.
He's stuck in a...
Leaning on the Everlasting Arms. That's the song. And it's also the song that Mrs. Munson hums in the remake of The Lady Killers when she's making out the check to Bob Jones.
Yeah, so, yeah, clearly the Coen brothers really do love this movie. Look at you.
Look at you.
Look at you.
I love that you nailed that connection, and then as you read through trivia...
Did the Coen brothers do the remake of True Grit?
Yes.
Because that same song plays at the end of the movie.
I love that movie.
That's a great movie. The Everlasting Arms song.
Yeah.
I Need an Everlasting Love.
Yeah.
Wait for it. Give it some time. Sorry, I just like recently rediscovered that song.
Yeah.
Howard Jones.
Huh. And Up. Anyway. There's a scene after Carl assaults an innocent construction worker over a mailbox. One of the creepy corporate suits looks at Carl's house and puts a hand on Carl's gatepost, like the scene where the Reverend meets Rachel for the first time.
Do it's you a think nod that, to that. Like they know that for sure. They're just like, that kind of looked like
it's IMDb.
It's IMDb.
The infallible IMDb.
Anyway. So we did it, you guys.
Here we go.
Our discontent has been
winterized.
Has been winterized. So now we can move forward contentedly.
We can move to spring. Car is Shelley winterized.
What are you doing, Andy?
Hereditary.
Andy looked like he was about to fall over on the Zoom here. You okay over there?
It's a long show.
Because if we watch you fall and hurt yourself, how can we save you?
The last thing, though, Hereditary, has a shot that's a reference. The treehouse shot is apparently a recreation of a shot from this movie.
Can I ask a stupid question? I believe it's only stupid because I think a lot of our listeners already understand these distinctions, but I'm going to ask you guys. Who ultimately is responsible, like, these beautiful shots in this movie? Do you go, that was the cinematographer, or was that the director?
It depends on the movie, but in this case, I think they collaborated a lot.
I was going to say, it's probably, Charles Lawton probably said, can you do me a thing that gives you this kind of idea? And then the cinematographer was like, why don't we try this?
Okay.
But there are some movies where literally the director
does it all.
Might tell the cinematographer exactly what they want. And there's some where they give that control completely over to them. They're like, you know what you're doing. I think that in the case with like Dean Cundey, I think they trust him enough that like when he's on a film, they're just like, you're in charge of this aspect of what we're doing completely. And we'll consult. We'll give you broad ideas.
I wonder if you're a cinematographer and somebody's praising a shot and they're like, damn, Charles Lawton, that was awesome. And you're like, motherfucker, that was my goddamn idea. Do you think that happens a lot?
All the time. Okay. It's happening right now in 1,000 different parties.
In 1,000 different Arby's?
In 1,000 different parties in 1,000 different Arby's.
You said Arby's, and then I was
that's
like,
part of my new song. 1,000 different parties at 1,000 different Arby's.
I love that. Can you please?
Okay, Smarty, go to an Arby's.
They got the meats.
Bust a move.
All right.
I love Arby's.
Me too.
Maybe we can have Arby's for lunch.
Playing with my Barbies while I'm eating all my Arby's.
I've had the worst reflux. Did I say this already?
Yes.
Yeah. But that's okay. You can say it as many times as you want.
It's reflux been like a pressure in my esophagus that won't go away.
That's going to be a line for the song too. Pressure in my esophagus that won't go away.
Yeah. Oh, pressure in my esophagus. Can you guys see that okay?
We sure can.
Yeah. Ernie's in his holy temple.
Now's the time of the show where we always say hi to our Beelzebubs. If you want to support the show monetarily, you can do so at patreon.com/notlp, and you get stuff on there.
You get stuff.
Other contents.
You get things like Night of the Comic, Eyes on TV, other things that come and go. Origins.
Kelly, you and I need to get our shit together on a high five.
Yeah, we started to talk about
it. We did.
Like we always do.
We're real
always
good at
gonna
this
guy. Record high five.
We made a decision. We always did.
We made a decision.
And then we're waiting.
You know what? I think it's Emily's fault.
You're going to blame Emily?
Anyway, that was a little behind the scenes. All right, so we're going to say hi to our Beelzebubs.
Yes, Ernie. Perez.
Yeah.
Elise. Combrink.
Whose body is made for, you know.
Stuff.
Made I'm like,
for,
built
I'm for
like
speed.
A, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Anyway.
Amanda Galatgo.
Of all your in cares corner, and worries.
Jeremy and Cassie.
Where's the money?
They'll do it for ice cream, guys.
Yeah, they will.
You know what I mean? Wink, wink. Wink, wink. Cassie made like this awesome, what is that considered? Is it a cross stitch? Where it's from, if you're a Schitt's Creek fan, the simply the best moment when I can't remember the character's name. David's fiance sings to him. Anyways, it's really neat. Mark Watts. Where you been at, Mark?
What's up, sir?
Where you been? Blake Heath? Bill Farner?
We know where you been.
Tree and Alex McNulty? I own a good one.
I own a great one.
Jeff Ooh. L.
Jeffel.
Jeffel. Jeff L. from Krypton. Brandon and Emily.
Brother to Cal.
Yeah.
Jeff.
Jeff L.
Jeff L. Our yellow Chris sun R. gives him his powers. It was nice seeing you, Brandon and Emily. And
always.
I bet you loved being blamed for derailing High Five Happy Hour just a few minutes ago.
I'd like to blame it on anybody. Just to blame myself. Anyone.
Adam Ingram. Bill Chandler.
Whoa.
Monica Martinson.
You were cracking me up on the call here tonight, Bill.
Bill always cracks me up.
He's a rock.
Cracking my shit
Solid
up.
Solid as a rock.
Yeah. He's a funny dude.
Monica
Martinson.
She's a funny gal.
She's a funny gal.
Mm-hmm.
Blaine Turner. I thought you were going to say he's a funny guy, too.
You're a funny guy.
We don't. I have a reflux real bad.
No!
I don't know if I told you guys that.
Kevin Corpy.
Kevin Corpy. Kevin, I almost verped your name.
Yeah. He was just letting Kevin know about his reflux.
Oh, man. I feel so old right now.
Hey, Alyssa.
Alyssa.
You're last on this list, but tops in our hearts.
Tops in our hearts.
Freddie has a reflux. Didn't know if you knew.
I have reflux.
Wanted to make sure you knew.
It's not good.
I hear about it all the time. You might as well.
I got mad.
You might as well.
I did like a, what is the purple pill I'm taking? It's like Prilosec or whatever, where you take it every day for 14 days or something. And it usually helps, but this time I still feel like there's like a something in my esophagus.
You tried some Tums?
I should get some supplement. I do Alka-Seltzer.
Oh yeah. Okay. So those I had reflux problems for a while, and I found that just simple Tums ended up working best for me.
Hmm.
Plop, plop, fizz, fizz.
You ever know?
Immediate relief. So probably your Alka-Seltzer.
You feel like this is also a trope in a Coen Brothers movie. If somebody has really bad digestion problems and they have to take medicine for it.
Constantly.
It's another thing. Maybe my reflux is inspired by it. It's an homage.
It's Coen.
To the Coen Brothers. Yeah. My body, I'm such a film fan that my body does homages now.
Oh.
You have Coen Brothers reflux.
I'm probably going to have Dumb and Dumber diarrhea later. If we're really doing the Arby's thing.
Oh my.
So next week we're going to do our usual end of month miscellaneous debris and whatnots.
Yeah, and news and stuff.
If you have anything to say to us, you can contact us. Crew at NOTLP.com.
If you have anything to say to us.
Bitch.
They get to my feet.
What's our phone number?
513-666-0456. I do want to apologize to any creative types, filmmakers and stuff that have tried to submit things, but it's just...
I think we're all dealing with a low...
Overloaded.
A low energy.
Yeah. High time. Demand, low energy.
Yeah.
So I apologize for that. We will be doing a giveaway with our buddy Rob Atoni again soon, his new book.
Oh, yeah.
I just haven't worked out the details yet because every time my priority list keeps
getting It's all the reflux. Around.
The reflux is making things very difficult.
But as always, September being Hispanic Heritage Month.
Yep.
We got our brother from another mother, Lewis Fowler. We've got his picks.
Yep.
We already know what's up. He'll be with us. That will be one bit of normalcy.
Yeah.
In your year. September, Lewis is here.
And something that we always did remotely. Yeah. So it won't feel weird.
Yeah. It'll feel more normal. You'll be more used to it or whatever.
Yeah.
It's real convenient that Lewis has never been in a coma during the month of September.
Yeah. He really, his body knows.
Knows not to have a stroke or...
Mm-hmm. Not when we need him.
Right. He's always here for us.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. He's salt of the earth that way.
Yeah.
Tough as nails.
Anything
like Lillian Gish.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like Lillian Gish.
He's the Lillian Gish of Oklahoma.
Yeah.
Just the Gish.
Just the Gish.
Wet and gishy.
I wish that would have been my name.
At birth?
No.
And then it would finally pay off this week.
Name. Wet and gishy. How did we not?
Ah!
Freddie, you fucking... Oh, you got to go out on
Wait,
that.
Wait, what were That's you going to do? Wasn't that what you were going to do, Andy? And then you decided it was... I can't hear you. You cannot be heard. Nobody can hear
he's
you.
He's WAP.
Nobody can hear you. Andy.
My microphone was turned off for the last 10 minutes.
Have you been talking this whole time?
I've been talking the whole time.
Oh,
really? Wow. I wonder. Were you upset? Like you made like a really funny joke, and none of us laughed.
Do you think we were all just pretending you weren't there?
Well, I was like, "Why do you keep talking over me? That's just rude." But I realized my mic was just turned off.
Oh.
But yeah, I said Lillian Gish, but they had to change the screen name because it was so gross.
Yeah.
Oh, I also that's.
We like to have fun with our Zoom names.
Man, why do I feel like I have
You're
to have
Freddy.
Arby's now? It's fucked up.
Okay, well, I guess he has to have Arby's, so we should get going.
All right.
Anything else before we leave? Anything important to tell people? You know, support the post office.
Oh, yes.
Make sure you're going to go vote and you're registered and whatever you got to do. Fucking help us end this nightmare.
Stay healthy.
Wear a mask.
Be nice to people.
Be vigilant.
Stay away from people. Don't eat inside a Cracker Barrel, mother. But anything else?
You got her.
I'm just messing with you.
You just nailed your mom to the wall.
You're fine. I love you.
You nailed her to the wall.
All right, gang.
All right.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye. See you next.
Frankenstein was wondering if he should go to bed when his old boy